our textbook, The History of the California Southern Baptist 13 Golden Years. If you want to read all this book, it's by Looney, Floyd Looney. This is a book here he actually signed. This is a signed copy, unused, with a dust cover on it. I imagine it would be worth over $100 on the internet out there, but you can find them from $50 to $100, usually, if you're interested in it. There are some in Baptist libraries in some places, mostly missionary Baptist libraries, because Southern Baptist libraries don't want this book anymore. They don't believe this anymore. Majority. I have been in Southern Baptist Church. There was one in near Bakersfield, California, that I preached in many times, and I just loved that church. And it was as sound as any missionary Baptist church anywhere. And that wasn't long ago. We're on page 118 and 19. The Hebrew teacher, Dr. Carlson, sang at the convention. And it was "Wonderful, Wonderful Jesus." After which Clyde Jackson, a former student of Carlson, was reciting, said, "Dr. Carlson, I didn't know that you could sing like that. I certainly didn't know it when I was in your Hebrew classes." Sometimes we hide our talents. This session here was unusual. This is 1946 or 1947 and 48. And something happens here that didn't happen before. A feminine orator stands up. "So far, the convention had been man's show, with the sisters limiting their participation in singing, voting, and plotting. But the tide turned in this session when Mrs. W.C. Howell read the WMU report and introduced Mrs. J.M. Dawson, Washington, D.C. Mrs. Dawson, wife of the executive director of the Baptist Joint Committee on Public Affairs, was the official representative of the Woman's Missionary Union, auxiliary to the Southern Baptist Commission. She held the attention of messengers at a late afternoon session for 30 minutes, during which time she magnified the place of women in the kingdom of God." And women have a place in the kingdom of God. That's an absolute fact. This was a long day's, a strenuous day's program for these people, but they were getting work done. Dr. G. Dallas Faulkner reported on the work of the American Bible Society, in which he recommended that each church be asked to take an offering for the society and it be scheduled as part of the convention's program. American Bible Society. That's printing Bibles and getting them out to people. Now, Dr. Crittenden had been opposed to putting the seminary in the convention's budget on the ground that it had often been offered that the Southern Baptist Convention would probably delay in accepting the California Southern Baptist included in that cooperative program. He contended that the theological education was a Southern Baptist Convention responsibility. In Missionary Baptist Churches, American Baptist Association, a seminary is under the auspices of a local, visible New Testament church. There's some of the differences. Now, the convention wants to control the seminary. Looney, contrary to every standard of ethics and good taste, continually ran headstrong against the express wishes of the executive secretary and in issue after issue, urging the convention to put the seminary in the cooperative program. Dr. Crittenden never did challenge him through the pages of the paper except to continually emphasize the importance of missions. Missions, you got to train missionaries before you can send a missionary out. He needs to be trained. When the matter finally came to the head of the board, Dr. O.B. Herring, president of the seminary, insisted that 25% of the cooperative program funds be given to the seminary. Dr. Crittenden urged that the percentage be limited to 15%. At this point, Looney and Crittenden were in a wholesome agreement on one thing, and that was that Dr. Herring was asking for more than was practical at that time. The brothers settled the issue by recommending 20%, and the messengers to the convention sanctioned it. There was a lot of disagreements and some agreements at this time. Now we come to Samuel Coxon. Now, at this period of time, prohibition had been nullified. The amendment had done, and they did away with prohibition. And if you go back in the 1800s, the Baptists were not 100% teetotalers, especially in Kentucky and in the southern states, where they made whiskey. After the women had the right to vote, and I'm not saying this derogatorily in any way, because women and some homes were abused by alcoholic husbands tremendously, and their income was just thrashed by alcoholism. And I saw that in my own family, too. Now, Dr. Sam Wills Coxon, delivering a blistering attack on the liquor traffic, said in part, "Satan struck with his angel the liquor traffic. And when the people and the government were broke, the liquor crowd and unworthy politicians repealed the 18th Amendment, and we will have plenty of money in the treasury. One thing they did not tell us, that the liquor would fill our reform schools with teenage criminals, our homes with drunken fathers, our broken-hearted mothers, little innocent children suffering from neglect. And they also forgot to tell us that the liquor will fill our penitentiaries, asylums, and hospitals, and our children's homes with victims of this awful traffic." We live in that today, don't we? They legalized marijuana and all the things today. They want to legalize all drugs. We got a problem with it. You want to see the problem? You go into these homes when you're going in bus ministries and you see children that are extremely neglected. Their families are living off of them, off of their welfare, and they're taking the welfare money and gambling it away or drinking it away or drugging it away. And they don't care anything about the children at all. Now, the big tobacco plantations of the South. Now, I never did smoke at all, but many Baptist churches, you could always tell a Baptist church between services at one time and this period of time here, especially now, back during this time, and even when I was a young preacher in the late 60s and 1970s, you go out to a Baptist church, and right out in front of the Baptist church, all the deacons would go out there and start smoking between services. And they had an ashtray out there in the front vestibule outside the church. You could always tell a Baptist church from a Pentecostal church because Baptist church were sending up smoke signals in between services. Now we have in the church covenant, we have resolutions against smoking and buying of liquor and all of this stuff. Now there's an increase in the consumption of tobacco, and this is a form of cigarettes, and its use is detrimental to both young and the old, which it actually is. And of late years, the consumption of cigarettes has grown alarmingly among women. Women are starting to smoke. And this is the endangering of the physical well-being of mothers and mothers-to-be and putting in jeopardy the lives of children now living and unborn. Therefore, be resolved that we give a vent to our deep feelings of regret and expressions and our alarm to the oncoming generations. Evidently, they didn't expect to live very long, so they wanted to write this down and make a statement of it. I don't know why people smoke today, because they know now that it's extremely detrimental to your health. And my grandmother smoked and dipped snuff at the same time. She only lived to be 53 years old, but she was killed. A lot of my uncles and them, the women dipped snuff back in those days a lot. And didn't see my grandmother, great-grandmother, used to tell me, she said, "Jimmy, when you get a little older, it would be real good if you started dipping snuff or chewing tobacco, because he said you'll never have hemorrhoids or worms. And that was real important back then, you know. But they said this. Now let's go to Dr. J.W. Bailey again. The old pastor, the old missionary had such a hard time getting help. Dr. J.W. Bailey was present at the meeting and was anxiously awaiting a report from a committee which had been appointed to make further study of Negro Baptist work in California. When Morris Mulkey reported that the committee had not yet met, but that was it was being made with Negro Baptist conventions in California in an effort to determine how Southern Baptists could most effectively help them with their work, Bailey said, "The best way is to help me." Mulkey went on to the state, and the committee desired to determine Bailey's connection with the Negro Baptist conventions in California also. Dr. Bailey didn't like Mulkey's remarks and arose to say that apparently his integrity was being questioned, and requested that President Burge read the letter from the president of the Negro Baptist Convention, which defined Bailey's connection with it. When Burge read the letter, Dr. Bailey said, "You see, I am an employee of the convention, and when you help me, you help our convention." D.A. Dolby said, "Dr. Bailey, how many churches in your convention?" To which Bailey replied, "About a half dozen associations, but I don't know the exact number of churches. About the same as you, your convention, I think." Dolby asked, "How much do they pay you?" And Dr. Bailey replied, "That is a good question. Our convention is young, and we have no help from the Home Mission Board. All they can raise has to be used in promoting the work. I don't get anything. They don't give me a nickel. They do give me the money I raise in the field." Mulkey asked, "How many revivals do you conduct last year?" To which Dr. Bailey answered, "About six, with 300 souls saved during the last year." 300 souls under this one man. One man, one missionary, and they don't want to pay him. Dr. Christian stated that he received a letter from Dr. Bailey accusing Floyd Looney and having him failing to do what the convention voted to do with reference to encouraging churches to give to him. Dr. Crittenden said, "You brethren know that there was to be no campaign, and it was to be left to the sovereignty of the churches to do what they chose to do for Dr. Bailey." In other words, get out of the way. Get out of the way. A motion by Fred Barnes to instruct the committee to continue its study and report the next meeting closed to discussion, at which time Clyde J. Foster, a general missionary visiting the meeting, got up and proceeded to take collection for Dr. Bailey. Another missionary stood up and proceeded to take a collection for Dr. Bailey. He didn't ask anyone for permission, nor one stopped him, and in a few minutes they had $12.17. Which he handed to the old soldier of the cross. Boy, did he have trouble. $12.17. Well, $12.17 would buy a big bag of groceries back then. Big bag of groceries and maybe a few boxes. Still, we have problems, don't we? Problems. But we don't have the problems now that we had then. A lot of that, there are... I am almost full-blood American Indian. My family were very abused in the Dawes Act and et cetera. My great-grandfather was shot trespassing on his own land in 1905, and the Indians in my family came to California to be mistaken for White Okies so they could own land. They couldn't own anything back there. They'd take it away from them. My great-grandfather had moved from place to place, and they kept making new treaties all the time. He finally told him, "I'm not signing any more treaties. This is my land. I'm too old to move now. This is it." They said, "Well, we will kill you," which they did. They killed him right in front of his his wife and all of his children. My grandfather was there. Now, my grandfather said very few words. He was a close-mouthed Cherokee. Full-blood Cherokee, ain't it? But he's close-mouthed. He didn't talk much. He said to my mother, one of the few words he ever spoke to her in her life, "My father, my birth father, my DNA father, I had several stepfathers, but my father was killed in 1949 robbing a liquor store in Southern California in Long Beach. He had been with Patton in Europe. When he came home, he was deranged. He would never write again. He was friends with Audie Murphy and friends with a lot of the movie stars down there. He went with Betty Davis. He took her car and brought it up, and I got to ride in that car. I had to be lifted up. I was so small I couldn't get in because it had running boards on it. They came and got it. I remember the night he came, where he's going down to Los Angeles. He was taking care of the Bill Woods and the Texas Playboys. And he was paying their bills down there by robbing liquor stores and stealing cars and stuff. He was... mine was gone. Anyway, he got killed. He was shot. He was killed. And the sheriff came to the house to tell us that my father had been killed. And they stole $7,000 out of his boot. He had $7,000 in his boot that was never reported. My dad was robbing a liquor store with a gun. The gun wouldn't shoot, but it was a gun. Who knows whether to shoot or not? He got a gun, you know. The man that killed him had a right to defend himself. And he was an Army veteran also, and he shot him with his service pistol .45. My dad's friend went back and killed him later. He's dead now. All of these people are dead. My dad went down to the fighting school down there at Terry's Gym with Audie Murphy and with Marilyn's uncle, Bud Reed, Sherman Phillips, Hoyt Chastain. These people, Ed Bishop, that all knew all of my life. And they were, some of them, pretty wild. Audie Murphy probably would have been in jail had he not been a movie star because of some things. That post-traumatic stress disorder is a horrible thing. My dad never got over to Audie Murphy's second wife. Built a room. She was a wonderful woman. She was part Cherokee. He was Indian also. He was Irish and Indian. She built a room for him that was bulletproof. Wanda Hendricks, when she was mad, married to him, he would wake up in the middle of the night screaming and shooting with a .45, knocking, shooting the windows out, shooting the lights out and everything like that. She just said she couldn't handle it. She loved him so much. They had to pry her from his casket when he got killed. Wanda Hendricks, a movie star also. You can look them both in the High Sierra. My father got killed because he was, his mind was destroyed. He went killing in Europe and came back home wanting to live the same type of life, full of adrenaline. Him and my mother didn't get along very well at all. But he came by the night before he got killed, and I saw him last time. I missed my dad a long, long time. I always wanted him to come back home. But he didn't. You see, sometimes things mess your minds up. Life is hard to be lived. And sometimes, even in churches, you can have post-traumatic stress disorder because of some business meetings. I didn't want to go to a church business meeting for a long time. I just couldn't stand it. Too much fighting going on over little nothings. Little nothings. When you get Adamic nature people all together in one place, sometimes they do some pretty crazy things. They had a lot of problems in some of these churches. They want to change the bylaws. And said the brothers overlooked the fact that notice was not served, that changes in bylaws would be considered at a meeting. They did not take note that the fact was a special or not a regular meeting of the board. They didn't call attention to any emergency which made it necessary to change the bylaws at the meeting. What is more, failed to note that the 10 members out of 21 were present when the meeting started and when the vote was taken on the bylaw changes, that were only 7 present of the 3 that had left. Now they're beginning to fight over these little things. The bylaws were, as they're trying to get outside of electing any missionary that did not promote receiving members from churches that practice open communion, in other words, Northern Baptists, and that did not practice close communion, because the Southern Baptist Convention was on record that they practice close communion, not closed, close communion, that only members of that church could take of the Lord's Supper when they had the Lord's Supper, that if you had visiting people, they were not allowed to take it. Visitors were not, the non-church members were not allowed to take the Lord's Supper with them. It's a church ordinance. And that they would accept no baptism except those baptisms done by immersion from real Baptist churches that carried their lineage down. 1948, 1949 now. We're up to that period of time. 1948, 1949. The Baptists did not want to support anything that had anything to do with the Ecumenical Council of Churches anywhere. They were upset with President Truman now for his frequent attendance of church service. And he explained that it is fine to rap a fellow when he's wrong, but it is also well to commend him when he's right. And a messenger agreed, and Looney resolution included that report. They were trying to castigate President Truman, because President Truman was a Baptist, remember? Jimmy Carter was a Baptist, still is. They went to the top of the nation sometimes with their complaints and whatever. One last thing in this class now. We're on page 156. We got some criticism here. The Committee on Missionary Nomination and Assignment, composed of Du Bois, Hall, Combs, Woodward, and Chamberlain, Woodrow Rosecrans, and Grady Lambert, recommended all missionaries be retained on their present fields with the exception of R.W. Lackey, who would confine his activities to the Fresno area. Now, Lackey was a landmarker. He believed and he kept influencing the churches in that we should not accept any members from any churches or letters from any churches that practice open communion or alien immersion. wherever he went. He didn't call dissension, but he tried to hold the churches back to the scriptural point of view. And now they're going to try to castigate him. This is R.W. Lackey, who had combined his activities with the Fresno area. The reason for reducing the territory of Lackey was that he was a strong contender of the idea that churches should not receive members from churches which practice open communion or receive persons with alien immersion. Now the Southern Baptist Convention is changing. We are going to see change now. Not to the good, but to the bad and the ugly. He was injecting this issue in various churches and thereby causing considerable dissension. Why would it cause dissension if people are scriptural? Because they want to get big and they want to just take in anybody? It seemed to be the opinion of the brothers that if his territory could be narrowed down, there would be a corresponding reduction in dissensions. The board heartily adopted the recommendation to improve the nomination of Leonard V. Sigel for missionary in the area of Northern California. Sigel is a missionary Baptist, an Orthodox landmark missionary Baptist. But he's cooperating with the convention for a missionary in the area, Northern California, and J.E. Chambers for the Bakersfield Mojave Desert area. Sigel accepted the Chambers, kept putting the board off for months and months, and finally declined. Needless to say, many of the churches in San Juan King Valley were critical of the board's action for moving Lackey and electing a brother and allowing him months to make up his mind to accept it. Months, making up his mind for months. They replaced Lackey with somebody that didn't want the job. And the reason why Sigel didn't want the job is because he believed what Lackey believed. He wasn't as vocal about it, but he believed what Lackey believed. Our Father, we thank you for this short message on church history. Thank you for all the blessings in it. I am doing this, Father, for people to know what we believe and why we believe it and what to throw away and what to keep. Father, please forgive me where I failed you. Use this message where it goes all throughout the world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.